Okay. All right, we are on the air. All right, so start with a few shots I sent in. One shot was, are you allowed to brush your teeth on Shabbos? So a definitely controversial Shaila, we'll just explain what are the issues involved. The first issue is, will you cause yourself to bleed? Sometimes when you brush, you cause yourself to bleed. So we're talking about brushing teeth on Shabbos. If you definitely will cause yourself to bleed, then it's a problem. If it's not definite, it may or may not happen, so then that's not an issue. The second issue would be schita, wringing out the bristles of the toothbrush. Most of the bristles that we have are synthetic. They don't really absorb. And therefore, in that case, it would not be an issue as far as that. And then the third remaining issue is smearing, the mareach, which is the actual toothpaste, smearing that along your teeth. Hello, Yoni. So we're discussing Yoni teeth brushing on Shabbos. So the smearing of the toothpaste on your teeth, that may be an issue. And that is a big machlokas, halacha ma'isa. Some allow it, some don't allow it. So it's pretty safe to say almost everyone will allow you to brush your teeth with a liquid toothpaste as long as you don't bleed. And some will allow you to brush your teeth with a toothpaste, but definitely a lot do not. Everyone can do whatever. I actually do not brush my teeth with a toothpaste, but with a liquid toothpaste or a mouthwash. Okay, that is that. Second title was sent in based on last week's shiur. We discussed that you're not allowed to think and learning or make brachas in the mikvah, in the bathhouse, the inner chamber. You cannot make brachas or daven in. So they asked, what about ladies that go to the mikvah? They make a bracha. They make a bracha on the tefillah. And there, that's the inner chamber. That's in the actual mikvah itself. How are they allowed to make the bracha there? So it's a really good question. The place can discuss it. And they go back and forth. And it's not really clear why it's mutter. They all agree it's a great shayla. And they all agree you definitely make the bracha. But why is it different is a big, big debate. Answers are not so clear. But at the end of the day, we don't change the minhag, which is the women do make the bracha on the mikvah. They do their own personal tefillahs. But the women should not be giving a shir or saying a shir or doing other things there, only what is related to the mikvah and those tefillahs. Okay, and the last shayla sent in was, let's say you want to daven, but your talis and your tefillin are not available. Let's just say someone had a baby and they're in a hospital in America and they want to daven, but they don't have the talis and tefillin with them. Hello, Abba Florence. So the Shabbat is now Abba is davening without talis and tefillin. The answer is talis and tefillin is a beautiful mitzvah, but it's not connected to davening. Hello, Aaron Lieberman has a new baby. That's Abigail Malka, if everyone can see. And yes, he had a baby last week and he was in the hospital and he did not have talis and tefillin with him. And the answer is that you do daven without your talis and tefillin. They're not connected. We do all of them together. And there's definitely a mila. It's a good idea. And we want to daven with our talis and tefillin on. However, we do not push off davening because of that. So if it's, you'll still make this man tefillah, so wait half hour, fine. But if you're going to miss this man tefillah, or you're going to miss chatzis, you're going to miss the whole man, you do not push it off. Daven now, and whenever you get your talis and tefillin, that will be, then you should daven with your talis and tefillin. Okay, those are the shaylos. Those just joined us. Brushing teeth on Shabbos is a machlokas. With liquid toothpaste is fine. Without is a machlokas. And there you go. Okay, tonight's main event will be Purim. I want to divide it into two parts. Next week we'll do the actual Kriyas HaMegillah and the Hashkafa and Inyanim and what we should be davening and thinking about in Purim. That'll be next week in Hashem. This week we'll try to do everything else. So here we go. We'll start with Parshas Zachar. So this Shabbos, Parshas Truma, is also Parshas Zachar. It's brought down amongst the Yishayinim and Shulchan Aruch. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa to hear Kriyas HaTorah about Mechias Amalek, the mitzvah to destroy, remember, and destroy Amalek. Mitzvah d'oraisa. It is brought down a big shiloh. What about women? Do women have to go? Do women need to hear? So it used to be women never went. And then somehow the whole Klai Yisrael became firmer, and now women had to start going. But Lamaisa Meikra did, women do not need to go. I know some fine women that do not go to hear Parsha Zachar. So if it's easy, fine. If it's not easy, don't go. A good idea to read it anyway from the Chumash, from Parsha Kiseitse, to read it from the Chumash, but when, definitely not a chiyuv for women to go. Men, it is a chiyuv to go. If it's corona issues, so then do whatever you can. It's not the pikuach nefesh. If you feel going to shul is pikuach nefesh for you, so don't go. If you can go, then you should go. That is Parshas Zachar this Shabbos. Okay, Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is next week on Thursday. There is a mistake that people think that Esther fasted on Tainus Esther. It's not really true. Esther did, and Mordechai did decree a fast day, but that was on Pesach. We do not fast on Pesach. However, we do fast on Tainus Esther. Yud Gimel Adar was the day that they went to war. So Mishnah Berurah brings down that they went to war. It was normal to fast on a day you go to war. So that's why they actually fasted Yud Gimel Adar. It wasn't because of Esther. It was based on the war. But it's called Tainus Esther for many other reasons. But at the end of the day, so we do fast Yud Gimel Adar. We call it Tainus Esther. But remember, it was all Klai Yisrael fasting because of the war. Now, on this fast day, it's definitely one of the most lenient fast days. And it doesn't mean you can eat, but if you're sick, really sick, definitely a bigger kula to eat. You are allowed to shower. You are allowed to get a haircut. You're allowed to listen to music. You're allowed to work. If you are pregnant or nursing, you should not fast. As far as taking medicine, you should try taking medicine without water if you can. If you can't, so a little of water to get the medicine down is fine. So that is the fasting. Now, we fast until after the Megillah. Now, in truth, the fast ends at Seisach HaChavim, right? 40 minutes, whatever, after sunset is when the fast really ends. However, we do not want to eat before Megillah because we have a mitzvah, so we don't want to eat before the mitzvah of Megillah. Therefore, we primarily do not break our fast until after. However, if you are weak, not feeling great, so then as long as the fast is over, you can eat even before the Megillah. However, a very small amount. You can have a coffee and a cookie or a hamantashen, but it shouldn't be a full-blown suda. It shouldn't be 10 ragalach, one or two hamantashen, and a coffee is fine. But again, only if you really can't do it. If you can wait, better to wait. If you can't wait, then you should wait. Now, women who are going to go and hear the Megillah a lot later, it'll be a lot harder for them, right? Let's say there is a babies in the house, and therefore they're not going to leave the babies alone, and they're not going to leave the babies at shul. So the husband's going to go hear the Megillah first, and then the lady's going to go later. So then it could be an hour or two later. So again, if it's really hard, they definitely could have a coffee and a hamantashen. Should not have a full-blown suda. However, let's say they're so weak, they need a suda. So then they would have to appoint a shomer, whether it's a husband, whether it's an alarm clock. They have a shomer to remind them, go hear the Megillah, so then they could eat more food. That is as far as the times goes. Now, the actual hilchos of the Megillah and what we need to listen and miss and not miss, I'll discuss next week. Just one thing I want to point out this week is I was asked, what about hearing Megillah on the phone or hearing Megillah through Zoom? Which most years wouldn't, it could be relevant, but this year specifically, there are a lot of people who do not want to go to shul, do not go to shul because of corona or other issues. Can you hear Megillah? So the answer is, if you can go to shul, go to shul. That's definitely the best. It's ideal. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein is lenient, and my Rebbe said I could say this publicly, to hear Megillah over the phone or in Zoom is fine. You can be yotze your mitzvah, just like everyone else. So you can. Again, if you go to shul, great, but if you're uncomfortable going to shul, so then yes, Zoom and phone, but you still need to make sure you hear every word. There's got to be a good connection, good placement of the phone or the camera. Okay, we'll discuss more Megillah next week. Now, on Purim, there are four major mitzvahs that we do on Purim. One of them is the Megillah. The other three are the Suda, Shalach Manos, and Matanos Lev Yoyin. Those are three other mitzvahs we do on Purim. But there's one thing I forgot to mention, connected to Matanos Lev Yoyin. I shouldn't say connected. Another mitzvah, Tzedakah, that's not Matanos Lev Yoyin. Hello, Shui. Shui's here. One other mitzvah I forgot to mention is the Indian of Matzah Shekel. So Matzah Shekel is a mitzvah that we do. It's a reminder of something this week's parasha, actually, right? B'nai Yisrael donated money to the Beis HaMikdash. They actually would do it. There were three different types of donations. One of them was done from Rosh Chodesh Adar and on, and it was called Master Shekel. They would give a half a shekel. So the minig is on Tainus Esther, around Mincha time. Sometime Mincha Tainus Esther, to give a Master Shekel. What that means is, we do three half dollars, or if you're in Israel, but no one here will be probably, three half shekelim. We got a cheaper deal. Hello, doctor. So we're discussing right now the mitzvah Machta Shekel. So Tainus Esther, Mincha time. You go to shul, you take three half dollars. The gabbai will probably have them there. You put in a dollar and a half or $2, pick up the three half dollars, say Zecher L'Machta Shekel, and put it down. You should do it for everyone in your family. As a minimum, meaning pick it up, put it down for each one of your children or spouses, whoever will not be doing it themselves. You can do it for them. So that's a mitzvah of Masa Sheka. Or if you forget to do it on Tainus Esther, you can do it any other time. And if you don't go to shul, you can do it at home. But try to get three half dollars to do it. So it's really a dollar and a half per person. So you just want to redeem those three half dollars. So you can do $1.50 if you have exact change or take change. Whatever it is, the money goes to tzedakah, goes to any tzedakah. Fine. Getting back to Purim. So we have on Purim, besides the Mitzvah Megillah, which we're going to discuss next week, we have Matan Zev Yonim, Shalach Manas, and the Suda. So we'll start with Matan Zev Yonim. Now, all three of these we do not make a bracha on, right? No bracha is made on the Suda, Shalach Manas, or Matan Zev Yonim. But when we make the Shechiyanu, the Kriyas HaTorah, Friday morning, you have in mind that Shechiyanu is going on the other mitzvahs of the day, Shalach Manas, Suda, and Matan Zev Yonim. Matan Zev Yonim, the mitzvah is to give to two poor people a nice amount. Now, how much is a nice amount? Actually, how much is a nice amount? The nice amount is, it could be your yotzi with any amount, but the ideal would be to give a meal equivalent to a poor person. So if you eat pizza or falafel, you give $3 or $4. If you like shawarma, you give $7, $8. If you like steak, give $15, $20. But that's the idea, that you would want to give a nice amount of money. Now, you're guilty with anything, but ideally, you want to give a Suda equivalent to two poor people. Now, you can do it yourself on Purim, or you give it to a Shliach in advance, and the Shliach will give it to the poor person on Purim. Let's say you were not so forward-thinking, and you didn't give it to anyone, and it's Purim, and there's no one around. So b'di'evet, you can put it into a tzedakah box in the shul or in your house. B'di'evet, if you have no other choice, do that at least. Or designate it to be given to two poor people or just any tzedakah box. But again, that's all b'di'evet. Ideally, you would want to do it in advance or find two or four people on Purim to give it to. if you want to add money from Meister, that's fine. But the actual chiyuv, the minimum amount for two people, you cannot give for Meiser money. But if you want to add on to give to five people, or you want to give more than $20, more than $15 to the people, so then that extra money can be used from Meiser money. Women also are obligated in this mitzvah, so they should speak to it. Either their husbands will give for them, or their fathers will give for them, or they should give themselves to the Gavei Tzedakah. But women are obligated in this mitzvah as well. As all mitzvahs of Purim, women are obligated in just like the men are. And that is Matan Zev Yonim. Okay, next mitzvah we'll do Shalach Manas. Okay, Shalach Manas is also on Friday, also no bracha, like we said. And the chiyuv there is one person, to give Shalach Manas to one person, two items to one person. Those two items do not need to be two separate brachas. I'm not sure where that came from, but it has to be two separate items. So you want to give someone a steak and a chicken, that's great. If you want to give them a jelly bean and a candy and a chocolate coin, that's weak. Now, even those two separate items, they should be very chashuv items. They should be nice. They should be used towards a suda. Now, you don't have to give them a suda, but it'd be nice to give them food, which is relevant and connected to a suda. And therefore, a jelly bean and a chocolate coin is not a good idea. But if you want to give them more substantial, that's great. it should be davar chashuv. If you want to give 100 shach manises and 99 of them to be chocolate coins and jelly beans, that's fine. But at least give one that is more chashuv than the others. Women are chayav in this mitzvah as well, so they should also give or have a shliach give for them. And it's done during the day, Friday. If you give it by night, that doesn't count. If you want to appoint a shliach on Thursday to give it to someone on Friday, that is fine. The minhag, we do not send it to an oven. So if someone is in mourning for their parents during the 12 months, we do not send to them. We don't give them presents. We do not send shach manis to them. Let them know that so they won't be insulted, but we do not send it to them. Okay, next mitzvah is the suda. Okay, suda's Purim. So the Thursday night, there is no chiv or mitzvah to have a suda. It is brought down. Yes, an uncle does give, Yoni. It is brought down that to have more food, be marbiktat, have a little bit extra Thursday night. That does not mean to get drunk. It means to have a little bit nicer food Thursday night after the Megillah. You come home, have a suda, a nice suda, but not a getting drunk suda. There's no mitzvah for that. The real chiyuv suda is a suda by day, which this year will be Friday. Friday is the chiyuv to have a suda. Now, what does suda mean? You should wash and you should have meat. Ideally, you want to have meat from a cow. If you do not eat meat from a cow, so then you can have meat from a chicken. That's also okay. But ideally, it's brought down to have red meat and wash and have wine. If you're a vegetarian, so you're a vegetarian, nothing to talk about. But if you are able to, you should go ahead and have meat. Now, as far as wine goes, there's a very famous mitzvah of getting drunk on Purim, and it should be done properly. We'll discuss more next week about the hashkafa behind it and what you should do or not do. But the letter of the law is during the suda, not while you're walking on the streets and not like when you're in shul, but when you sit down and you have your suda. So at the suda, there's a mitzvah of getting drunk at the suda. And I recommend staying there and not like leaving your house afterwards. But you get drunk at the suda. Now, if you do not want to get drunk, or you feel you're not going to have the right kavanas while you're getting drunk, because you're just getting drunk because you kind of just want to get drunk, so then maybe don't get drunk and just have a little bit more wine than normal and then go to sleep, put your head down. You can be that killjoy who just has a little bit of wine and then goes to sleep. But you definitely want to have a little bit more wine than normal. To the best of my knowledge, there's no mitzvah of hard alcohol. It's only with wine. Even though hard alcohol will go quicker. Shui would like to know if there is a mitzvah. No, Shui, there's no mitzvah that. Anyway, Shui was by my Purim Suda, and he did the mitzvah very well. Now, the idea is that we do not want to get, fine. So drink a little bit more, no hard alcohol, just wine. You should be wearing either your costume or a big day Shabbos to the Suda. It should be nice, yantiv type of Suda. Women are chayav in the Suda as well. And there's a minhag of having kreplach on Purim by the Suda. Kreplach is meat, which is covered over by a dough. There's some Kabbalistic reasons and some spooky reasons and some other reasons. But the idea is definitely a minhag in Klai Yisrael three times a year, Purim, Hoshana Rabbah, and Erev Yom Kippur, to have kreplach. So try to have kreplach. Now the last thing as far as the Suda is this year, for you Americans, you'll be having your Suda on Friday. We will be having a Suda on Sunday, for the Yerushalayim people. But anyone outside of Yerushalayim, like you guys, will be having the Suda on Friday. There's a big debate what is the timing? When should you have that Suda? So it's brought down ideally to have it in the morning, meaning up until Chatzos, which means at least wash before Chatzos. Chatzos, I'm guessing, is around 12, 11:30, 12 in that range, whatever you take a look at the calendar. So if all things are equal, you would want to wash before Chatzos. If it doesn't work, it's okay, and you can wash after Chatzos, meaning you first have to deliver your shach manis, and then you have your suda. Now, there's another thing which I do when Purim is on Friday. It's called Peres Mapa. Now, what Peres Mapa is, you do not have your suda in the morning, I mean, you're allowed to eat, but the real Purim suda you do into Shabbos. You start like half hour before Shabbos. You wash, you have some wine, have some meat. Don't bench. You cover over your tablecloth. You light Shabbos candles. If you're sober, you daven Kabbalah Shabbos and Maariv. If you're not sober, you'll push it off for later. Then you make kiddush without saying hagafen, because you already made hagafen on the wine and the suda. So you make kiddush holding a cup of wine and make say everything else except for the words berpi hagafen, the bracha berpi hagafen. Then you take two loaves of bread, lecha mishnah, and don't make a bracha on them, but you pick them up and you cut them, lecha mishnah without hamotzi, because you already made hamotzi. So it's really cool. It's really unique. We've done this every time. It's a lot of fun. Yes, otherwise you can do both. You can do both suits. I mean, you want to have a suit in the morning and then have another Yishmaka suda later on. It's fine. But again, so this is what's called the Puris Mapa suda, which is instead of having to rush the suda in the morning, you do a nice long Purim Shabbos suda starting before, and then candle lighting, davening, kiddush without hagafen, lechem mishnah without hamotzi, and then carry on the rest of your suda, and that'll be your Purim Shabbos suda. That's also a fine option and maybe more convenient for some people. So that's Puris Mapa. Fine. One more thing on Purim is davening and working. So as far as the davening goes, we add al hanisim to our shon esrei and to benching. This is done only Thursday night, Friday, right? Not on Shabbos for you guys. And so only on Yadalid on Friday, Thursday night, Friday, we do al hanisim. If you forget al hanisim, you do not repeat anything. If you remember at the end, if you have, there's an insert in harachaman and benching. But whatever, if you forget, you can say it at the end of benching. But if we get completely, it's not ma'akev, you don't repeat shon esrei or benching for it. You do not say it on, if you do say it on an appropriate day, like on Shabbos or any other day, you don't repeat if you said it. So if you didn't say it when you should have, or you should not have said it and you said it, it's not ma'akev and you can still continue davening. We do not say tachanun or lam netzeah or halel on Purim. The Megillah itself is the Hallel, so we do not say another Hallel. And as far as working, it's ideal not to work on Purim. If you can avoid it, you should avoid it. It's brought down, you won't see much bracha from the money you make anyway on Purim, so why do it? So definitely, if you could avoid working, you should avoid working. If you can't, it's not an Avera, it's not like Shabbos or Yontif. So you can, but definitely try to avoid it if you can. Okay, that is a wrap on the mitzvah and halacha of Purim. Next week, we'll do the halacha of Kriyas HaMegillah and different ideas that we should be davening. We'll now end off with some bitachon and tefillah thoughts. So we have in bitachon last week, we discussed tzaddik v'ralei, which means why is it that Hashem gives some challenges and difficulties in parnaso or other things to tzaddikim, as we discussed last week. This week we'll discuss the other way, which is Rasha the Tovle. The Chavis Avavas and Perek Gimel discusses why is it that sometimes we see a Rasha that has good things. You look around, that guy, he's Machal Shabbos, he beats up his friends and family, he's a mean person, and yet he's got everything good. He's healthy, he's wealthy. What's going on? Why is it that Hashem gives good things to Rasha? So the Chavis Avavas goes through many reasons why that could be. First of all, it's not our job to judge. We don't play God. We don't have to know everything. But he does go through that you should know. Perhaps it's because he did some good things in his life and Hashem wants him to get his reward in this world and not in the next world. So, yes, yeah, so whenever you see him enjoying his Mercedes and his Bentley, you can say, okay, fine, you enjoy it here because the next world, you're going to be under the Bentley and you enjoy it in this world. But that could be one thought. Another thought is perhaps he has a son who is or will be righteous, who will inherit all of those wealth, all those riches. So maybe it wasn't given to him for the Russia, it was given to him for the Russia's son. That's another thought he puts out there. Perhaps he himself will do tshuva. So Hashem is giving it to him because, you know, very soon he'll be doing tshuva. That's another possibility. And the last possibility he says, which is interesting, which is it's a test for the tzaddikim. Because if a tzaddikim look at this Russia, they say, oh my gosh, he steals, he cheats, he's terrible, and he's so successful, that'll be tempting for us, for the tzaddikim, to say, hey, maybe we also should do that. Maybe we should go ahead and, you know, cut some corners. Don't be so honest. Don't be so from. So it's a test. Will we be able to withstand that and say, you know what? I don't care. I'm not going to be following his ways just because he's successful. So it could be that's why the rush is having good stuff, just as a test for the tzaddikim. I mean, these are all thoughts that the Kaddish always puts out there. As far as tefillah, we have a tefillah idea. One last thought, Shimon Esrei. We discussed a lot of other areas of Shimon Esrei. One last thought is the bracha Goel Yisrael, which is the seventh bracha. So it's interesting. The Gemara Megillah asks, why is Goel Yisrael the seventh bracha? And the Gemara says, because the Geula, the Klal Yisrael, will come in the seventh year. Seventh year referring to the Shemitah cycle. That the Geula will come in the seventh year of the Shemitah cycle, Shemitah. And the Gemara asks, so therefore, the seventh bracha here is Goel Yisrael, referring to that. The Gemara asks, hey, but that's not true. It says that Mashiach will come after the seventh year, in the beginning of the eighth year. And the Gemara says, but the war that will bring Mashiach will come in the seventh year. And the Gemara says a big expression, which is the beginning of Geula is war. War is the Tchilas HaGeula, which means like this, the war itself, and we have to look at that as part of the Geula. So in the seventh bracha, when we're diving Goel Yisrael, we're diving for Geula. In the seventh bracha, we have to have in mind that we want the Geula. We understand that the war itself is the start of the Geula. And that has two different levels. On a Klal Yisrael level, it's whatever wars Klal Yisrael have to go through. We understand that's an integral part of Geula. We need that for the Geula. And perhaps on a personal level, it's your own personal Shimon Esrei. Each one of us needs our own personal Geula from whatever issue it is, whether it's health, shalom, arnasa, whatever our personal struggles are that we want a Geula, to understand that the war itself, the Muhammad itself, is the start of that Geula. So it may be very difficult, but that itself could be part of the Geula, and we could have that in mind as we're diving Goel Yisrael. A thought on the Parsha, this week's Parsha is Parsha's Truma. So I'll give two thoughts. One of them is that the Aron, which has the Torah in it, the same Torah, the Luchais, in the Aron, had the poles that you would use, the Levium would carry the Aron with those poles. But the Gemara brings down, and Rashi brings it, that really the Levium who were carrying the Aron were really carried by the Aron. The Aron actually carried them. Yeah, I don't know how that works. It's, you know, Hashem Nisim. But the Levium would go and carry the Aron, but in truth, they were being carried. So why did Hashem do this? Why have poles to carry the Aron, which anyway, the Aron wasn't being carried, it was just carrying those that were carrying it. So I heard a great idea, which is when people come and you support yeshivas and you support Torah and Talmidei Chachamim, you feel like you're supporting them. But in truth, the Torah, the schus of the Torah that you're supporting really is supporting you. Whether it's on a financial level, which is you give money, the Torah is going to give money back to you. Whether it's on a ruchnius level, by you supporting Torah, you're connected to the yeshivas, you're connected to the Talmidei Chachamim, you're getting such an influence from them that you're really being supported and carried by them. So it could be this is a mashal, we understand from the Aron. We're going to carry the Aron, but in truth, we're being carried by the Aron. And by the way, Rav Aaron Cutler from Lakewood wouldn't always take money from certain people, and other yeshivas also wouldn't necessarily accept any money given from anyone. Because you realize when you take the money, you're really giving them support. And you know, you have to be picky and choosy who you're going to actually want to support. One last thought on the Parsha, as we have over here in intricate detail, Parsha's Truma, Tetzava, the Yaakov, Hudei, all these Parshas discussing with intricate detail the Mishkan, how it was made with gold and the silver and the fine linens and the weaving. And who was doing all of this work? A bunch of freed slaves. Right? We, Klal Yisrael, were in the Mitzrayim for 190 years, 210 years. We were in the Mitzrayim. We were slaves. What were we doing in the Mitzrayim? We're busy with mortar and cement and whatever, that type of work. We were not, guys, we were not doing craftsmanship. We were not weaving. We were not doing gold and silver craftsmanship, work, metal work. So how all of a sudden, Klal Yisrael is making this unbelievable Mishkan with all the details? So the Ramban asks this question, and the Ramban says it's a Pella, which means a wonder. Like, how is possible? And what he alludes to is that was Bezalel, Bezalel's name, Bezalel, that Hashem gave this koyach to them. And I believe the message is, and perhaps going through all this detail, to have in mind at least one theme, which is that when you commit yourself and you determine to do something for Hashem, it doesn't really matter what your skill set is. You'll be able to have, Hashem will give you that ability. Klai Yisrael was given the mission, build the Mishkan with this, this, and this, and this. Don't tell me you can't. I'm not interested in what you can or cannot do. If you are determined, Hashem, you want this done, I'm going to do this, well, then Hashem will give you the skills that are required for you to get the job done. And that's what happened over here by the Mishkan. Klai Yisrael put the Mishkan together with Bezalel. They got the job done with all this intricate detail because they decided they're going to do it, and Hashem gave them the ability to do it. Have a good Shabbos, Rishon, next week. Part 2 of Purim. Good Shabbos.